I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Agatha Samoa. In the headlines, Liberian refugees to lose status by end of June this year. Former Education Minister Betty Moldi Dirisu to offer voluntary statement in Royal Mail judgment debt case. Gunmen attack Kenya police station in Nigeria. Russian foreign minister expected in Syria as army hunts opposition groups in homes. And rescue operations in the Philippines after yesterday's earthquake which killed 15 with many others missing. First, the summary with Jonathan Thompson.
The Ghana Refugee Board and the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees have announced that Liberian refugees who constitute more than 11,000 in the country will lose their status by the 30th of June this year. This is because Liberia has had successful and peaceful elections. The announcement was made at a news briefing in Accra. Former Education Minister Betty Moldi Dirisu says she intends to offer voluntary statement in the Woyome judgment debt case. In an interview with Radio Ghana, her lawyer, Nana Tudazi, said Mrs. Moldi Dirisu has instructed him to send a letter to the police on her desire to give voluntary statement. He described her action as her constitutional right. A bomb attack on a police station in the northern Nigerian city of Kano is reported to have injured an officer. Gunmen carrying bombs attacked the station from different directions. Officials suspect Islamist group Boko Haram of carrying out the attack, although no one has claimed responsibility. And rescue teams continue their search after a 6.7 magnitude earthquake hit central Philippines yesterday. The country has also deployed the police to prevent looting. Reports say the most urgent needs now are water, tents, and food for survivors.
Radio Ghana, bringing you national, regional, and global news. We are Total.
The news in detail. From the 30th of June this year, Liberian refugees will lose their status as refugees. The Ghana Refugee Board and the UN High Commissioner for Refugees announced this at a news briefing in Accra. The program coordinator of the Ghana Refugees Board, Tete Paddy, said the invocation of the cessation clause also affects Rwandan, Angolan and Burundian refugees. Here is a report by Sandra Dansu.
The refugee cessation clause is invoked when conditions that led to citizens fleeing their country improve. The refugee status is removed in conjunction with the country of origin of the person seeking refuge, the international community, and countries hosting the refugees. UNHCR guidelines specify that basic developments which change the political and social structure of the country of origin, such as democratic elections, establishment of state institutions, and adherence to human rights, among others, must cease to exist. In addition, this must have been stable for between 1 to 1.5 years. For refugees from Liberia, Angola, and Burundi, the cessation clause will take effect on the 30th of June this year, while that for Rwandan refugees will take effect on the 30th of June next year. The program coordinator at the Ghana Refugees Board, Tete Paddy, explains further.
The international community has met and taken into consideration the fact that Liberia has had 2 successive democratic elections, which have been peaceful. It's been peaceful generally over the last few years, and it's deemed that it's safe enough for Liberians to return to Liberia. And for that reason, the cessation clause is invoked for Liberian refugees. Liberian refugees have the option of stating whether they want to go back to Liberia or whether they have other intentions. By 30th March, any refugee who has not stated their intention to go back to Liberia will not receive assistance from the UNHCR. This is due to the fact that planning will have to go into providing logistics and so on.
The UNHCR has strengthened its presence at the Bujumbura settlement in the central region and Kwesan refugee camp in the western region to register and assist those who are willing to voluntarily return to their countries.
Sandra Danso reporting. The Ghana Trades Union Congress CUC has called off its planned mass protest scheduled for Thursday, 9 February. The Councils of Labour meetings slated for today have also been cancelled. This is contained in a statement signed by the TUC Secretary General Kofi Asamoah. The statement said the decision follows a 20% reduction of the recent increment in prices of petrol, diesel and LPG as contained in a communique issued jointly by the TUC and the government at this emergency meeting held yesterday. The TUC will continue to pursue negotiations for the 2012 national daily minimum wage and the review of the civil service salary structure as part of the efforts to mitigate the effects of the high cost of living on workers and their families. The statement expressed the TUC's appreciation to all workers for their support in the struggle against the removal of subsidies on petroleum products. The statement assures all workers that the TUC leadership will continue to do whatever it takes to protect the interests of workers and the public, in particular the poor and vulnerable in society. The president of the Ghanaian Association for Women's Welfare, Florence Ali, is calling on UN member states to provide support to adopt a drug resolution that will ban female genital mutilation worldwide. This, she said, is the only way to arrest the perpetrators, avoid the cross-nation practice, and reduce the current number of 38 to 1,000 females by 2015 in Ghana. Speaking at a news conference to commemorate Zero Tolerance to FGM Day, Mrs. Ali called on the government to play the crucial role by punishing culprits and allocating adequate resources to educate people about the health and other implications of FGM. Here is a report by Antoinette Taba.
Female genital mutilation, FGM, is a tradition that is practiced in many African countries, including Ghana. According to WHO, an estimated 140 million girls and women in the world have undergone FGM, and approximately 3 million girls and women are at risk of being subjected to mutilation every year. In Ghana, FGM is practiced mainly in the three regions of the north and parts of Bunahafu and Volta regions. The president of Ghanaian Association for Women's Welfare, GAWW, Florence Ali, noted that FGM violates the human rights of victims and leaves them with complications such as obstetric fistula, pelvic infections, acute urinary retention and infertility, among others. She therefore called on people who still hold on to this tradition to do away with it.
What we must understand about mutilation is that it's a kind of suppression of a woman's sexual desire. The woman loses her self-esteem, the psychological aspect of it. Then she becomes subjugated to the man. But then they don't even think of the repercussions of these things. Formerly, they didn't know, but we are educating them about the effects of this female genital mutilation. But now they know, but it is still a different continuum.
The head of social services of the police hospital, DSP Elvis Sadongo, said he will cooperate with GAWW to educate the police personnel so that they will be able to be abreast with FGM laws and execute the arrest of offenders.
I will assist them to be able to get to the highest hierarchy in the police service so that we can table the issues, look at how all of us, we educate our staff on the need for us to begin to enforce these laws, and so that when they enforce them, they know how to gather evidence for the sole purpose of prosecuting those offenders.
The Executive Director of Women's Initiative for Self-Empowerment, Ajapuku Abami, regretted that corporate bodies are not willing to assist them with the necessary funds. This, she said, is affecting the output of their work. She called on well-meaning Ghanaians and philanthropists to donate for a worthy cause towards zero tolerance for FGM.
Antoinette Abba filed that report. The University of Cape Coast is undertaking community outreach programs to equip students with employable skills. The initiative is the university's contribution to eliminate graduate unemployment. Speaking at a news conference on his 50th anniversary in Accra, the Vice-Chancellor, Professor Nana Junipo Kwajima, noted that the programs are to introduce students to the reality of the world before they graduate. Nana W. Agu reports.
Established in 1962 as a University College of Science Education with two sections, the University of Cape Coast UCC is an independent institution with 8 schools and faculties. The Vice Chancellor of UCC, Professor Nana Pokwajiman, explained that UCC is bent on raising the standards of formal education in the country. This, she said, influenced her introduction of a distance education model, which makes no distinction in terms of quality between what is offered on and off campus. She said the Department of Theatre Studies undertakes annual outreach programs for senior high schools to perform plays that are being studied for the West African Senior School Certificate Examination. This effort, she noted, has enhanced the performance of students. The Vice Chancellor also mentioned that a meat processing unit of the School of Agriculture that continues to make available fresh and processed meat products to the university community and the public. Professor Pokwajiman commended past and present governments for their immense contribution to the development of UCC. The Minister of Food and Agriculture, Kwesi Ahoy, who is an alumnus, called on all alumni of UCC to register with the association on campus or online. The anniversary will be launched on the 18th of this month with activities including lectures, honorary awards, and alumni activities.
Naja Bli Agu reporting. The head pastor of Temple of Glory Ministries at Lashibi, Apostle Jonathan Betterwell, says the virtue of oneness appears to have been lost on some people in the country. He has encouraged Ghanaians to see themselves as one people with a common destiny, put away all differences and work towards the socio-economic development of the nation. Apostle Betterwell was addressing his congregation to climax 3 weeks intercessory prayer for the nation at Lashibi near Tema. He urged Ghanaians to instill the value of love, which influences proper interaction with one another, devoid of political and ethnic background. Apostle Betterwell asked Ghanaians to bury all political differences as elections draw closer. He said disease and war retard development, and urged Ghanaians to shun politicians who beat war drums. Apostle Betterwell appealed to politicians as well as their followers to be extra cautious in order not to destroy the peace the country is enjoying. He also called on Christians to pray fervently for peaceful and successful general elections. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Liberian refugees to lose status by end of June this year. Former Education Minister Betty Modidrisu to offer voluntary statement in Royal Midland death case. Gunmen attack Kano police station in Nigeria. Russian foreign minister expected in Syria and Zami hunts opposition groups in homes. And rescue operations in the Philippines after yesterday's earthquake, which killed 15, with many others missing. Do stay with us.
Radio Ghana, bringing you national, regional, and global news. We are Total.
Welcome back. The former Minister of Education, Betty Modidrisu, intends to submit herself to the police to aid with investigations regarding the William May Judgment death saga. Her lawyer, Nana Atudazi, in an interview with Radio Ghana, said Mrs. Modidrisu had instructed him to send a letter to the police on her desire to give a voluntary statement. Nana Atudazi described the action as her constitutional right. He spoke to Augustus Zakwe.
She's requested to be given the opportunity to submit a voluntary statement to the police. In connection with all this,
what is the difference?
The difference is if you say she has submitted herself, it's like arrest me and then this one, as a citizen, you can offer a statement to the police about any event or incident that you know. That's citizens' rights or obligation.
So right now, you are waiting for the police to respond to that application?
Yes. That one is routine. The police say that witnesses are informants, and informants are protected, not so. So we just call the police, tell the police that, but this one in written form that you have some information to give to you. What is wrong with that?
What will be her next move after this?
We are working with the police. They'll say, oh, come, okay, let's meet at this time, write a statement, that's all.
You heard Nana Tadazi, lawyer for Mrs. Moody Jisu. The financial court in Accra has remanded Alfred Abusi-Woyome and two others in custody when they appeared before it in connection with the 51 million Cedi judgment debt saga. The two are Chief State Attorney Nico Itete and the legal officer of the Finance Ministry, Paul Asimilu. A fourth person, Gift Itete, wife of the Chief State Attorney, was also in the court, was released on bail because she is a nurse and mother. Here is a report by Beatrice Sopong.
With the exception of Giftine Ekwe-Itete, who has been granted bail because she is a nursing mother, the other three, including Mr. Woyome, have been remanded into custody. The arrest followed the Iyoko report indicting them for their roles in the payment of the controversial judgment debt. The report stated that Mr. Woyome did not have any contracts with the government and therefore did not deserve to be paid the colossal amount. In 2009, Mr. Woyome filed a writ at the High Court claiming he was owed 41 million Ghana cedis and an interest of 10 million Ghana cedis after making false representation to the then Attorney General Betimold Idrisu, stating that he had been contracted by the government to rehabilitate two stadia. Mr. Asiminu has been accused of abetting Mr. Woyome to defraud the state. Investigation showed that Mr. Asiminu wrote opinions, quoted figures, and also sent information which created conditions for Mr. Woyome to be paid. The Chief State Attorney, Samuel Nekwe-Tete, is also facing two counts of conspiracy to defraud the state and allowing himself to be corrupted. According to the facts presented in court, Mr. Nekwe-Tete, who was then in charge of the Woyome case, drafted the letters to the then Minister of Finance concerning the payment and also refused to appear in court to defend the case. An amount of 400,000 Ghana cedis was subsequently transferred by Mr. Woyome to Mr. Nekwe-Tete's wife Gifty's account. Defense counsel said the facts presented in court were incorrect. According to the defense, the monies were paid as a result of a judgment from a competent court of jurisdiction. They claim also that the facts are grossly at variance with what actually happened. The case has been adjourned to the 13th of this month.
Beatrice Opon's report. The Circuit Court in Accra has again remanded DSC guilty Mawenyegate Hoda into police custody. Her remand comes after the prosecution substituted an earlier charge preferred against her. The amendment of charge sheet is in line with the ruling at the Human Rights High Court last Tuesday, bordering on the variance in the statement of offense and the particulars of offense. She is currently charged with abetment of crime by undertaking an activity relating to narcotic drug as against the earlier charge of abetment of crime to stealing of cocaine. Correspondent Amasewa Bidiako has filed the following report.
When the case was first called, Principal State Attorney Anthony Rexford Ruedu was not present, but Mr. Ruedu had sent one police officer attached to the Attorney General's office to present to the court files containing revised charges. When Mr. Ruedu finally arrived, his charge sheet was without supporting facts. Mr. Ruedu, upon acceptance by Justice Audrey Kokubite, made oral submission, which was recorded. Mr. Ruedu said the prosecution will lead evidence before the court to prove beyond reasonable doubt the guilt of DSP Mawenyegate Hoda on the offenses leveled against her. The prosecution brought the deputy head of the commercial crime unit of the police headquarters on a charge of abetment of crime to wit undertaking an activity relating to narcotics, contrary to Section 561 and 32 of PMBC Law 236, which is the Narcotic Drugs Control Enforcement and Sanctions Act of 1990. The current charge is also in tune with the particulars of offense, which states that between July 21, 2011 and December 13, 2011, DSP Tehoda abetted one Nanama Martins to swap cocaine exhibits weighing 1,020 grams into sodium bicarbonate. Mr. Ruedu said a prosecuting witness will testify of this involvement of the DSP after the trial judge had refused a bribe of 5,000 Ghana cedis to close Nanama Martins' case. This evidence will also be corroborated by other witnesses who knew about the DSP's involvement and how she contracted lawyer Komlase Nanu to have him briefed and request for a retest of the tendered exhibits. The prosecution said the whole saga of sudden change of cocaine was spearheaded by the DSP, who, according to Mr. Redu, jubilated in her office upon the release of Nanama Martins. The prosecution also submitted that the DSP be refused bail as investigations continue and that she could interfere with the investigations. Defense counsel E.K. Boduagu, however, objected to these submissions, noting that a new charge preferred against his client is an afterthought. He said from the facts recounted by Mr. Redu, prosecution alleged that a swapping was done in court. Mr. Boduagu noted that it is interesting to note that the head of narcotics at the headquarters, who was indicted in the BNI report, is still at post. He said the report only mentioned his client as directing her subordinates to report to her office with Nanama Martins whenever her relatives came looking for her. The defense said the substituted charge sheet by prosecution was an attempt to settle a bill that had earlier been granted by the Human Rights Division of the Fast Track High Court, but the court could not grant DSP Giftima Wenyegatehud that bill. Justice Audrey Kokuvite noted that the charge is connected to narcotics, which is an unbailable offense under the country's law. DSP Giftima Wenyegatehuda is due in court on the 20th of this month.
Amase Wabidiako reporting. Former President John Ejikum Kufuor left Accra last night for a one-week visit to London to address a high-level forum on the linkage between agriculture, nutrition and education. A statement from his office said the forum will be hosted jointly by the UK All-Party Parliamentary Group on Agriculture and Food for Development, the Partnership for Child Development and Imperial College. Former President Kufuor will outline the benefits of school feeding programs to impoverished communities and the nation at large. The event at the UK Parliament will be on linking local agriculture, nutrition and education innovations to improving food security. It said the forum aims to stimulate discussions on current innovations to improve food security and will specifically look at the need to link agriculture, nutrition and education interventions to benefit all from farmers to families and school children. This is Radio Ghana News. We'll be back with more stories after this break.
Radio Ghana, bringing you national, regional and global news. We are Total.
Welcome back. A police station in northern Nigeria has been hit by an explosion and attacked by gunmen in the flashpoint of Kano, injuring an officer. Kano police spokesman Magaji Musamajia said gunmen carrying bombs attacked the station from different directions. According to reports, around the same time, the witnesses spoke of hearing explosions in the market area of Maiduguri. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack, but officials suspect the Islamist militant group Boko Haram. Boko Haram is waging an insurgency in the region in a bid to try and overthrow the national government and install an Islamic State. Kano saw a series of attacks last month that left more than 185 people dead. Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is due to arrive in Damascus for talks with Syrian leaders. Russia, along with China, has faced international condemnation after vetoing a UN resolution that backed an Arab League peace plan for Syria. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad is trying to phase down months-long uprising against his rule. The U.S. State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland said it is the hope and expectation of the U.S. that Foreign Minister Lavrov will use this opportunity to make absolutely clear to the Assad regime how isolated it is and to encourage him and his people to make use of the Arab League plan for a transition. Earlier, Mr. Lavrov's office said he was heading to Syria because Moscow saw the swifter stabilization of the situation in Syria. Rescue efforts are continuing after yesterday's powerful earthquake in the central Philippines that left at least 15 dead and 44 missing. Army teams are carrying out search operations and the police deployed to prevent looting. Reports say the most urgent needs now are water, tents and food. The quake hit 70 kilometers north of Dumaguete City on Negros Island. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the 6.7 magnitude earthquake struck at a depth of 20 kilometers. The death toll includes two children, but the report has not been confirmed by the central authorities yet. And now, Jonathan Thompson joins us with editorials of the dailies.
The Daily Graphic focuses on the 50th anniversary celebration of the University of Cape Coast under the theme UCC at 50, Achievements and Aspirations. The graphic finds the theme appropriate because it gives the university the opportunity to recount its achievements in the past while making projections for the future. The paper admits that with the expansion of faculties and diversification of programs, the UCC has developed the capacity to produce the manpower needs of the country. It, however, believes that it will be better for the nation at this critical moment to stay focused on its core mandate of training professional teachers, as both public and private universities are focused on producing the manpower needs of the nation apart from teachers. The paper congratulates the Vice Chancellor and members of the UCC Council for their contribution to making the university what it is today. It also urges all the constituents to use the anniversary to plan for the future to ensure that the school maintains its status as a center of excellence. And the Ghanaian Times applauds the speed with which construction projects under the Millennium Challenge account are being carried out in the country. The paper mentions projects such as the new ferries at the Akonsombo and the Tetekwashi Interchange Malam Junction Road as worthy of commendation and a plus for the contractors. The Times, however, cautions the contractors to guard against mediocrity in their quest to beat the deadline. And those were the editorials by Jonathan Thompson.
Now to end the news, the main points again. The Ghana Refugee Board and the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees have announced that Liberian refugees living in the country will lose their status by the 30th of June this month. This year, former Education Minister Betty Modidisi has announced her intentions to offer voluntary statement in the William Magdalene death case as part of their constitutional rights. Gunmen carrying bombs have attacked a police station in the northern Nigerian city of Kano, injuring an officer, and rescue teams continue their search after a 6.7 magnitude earthquake hit central Philippines yesterday. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana in Accra.